Your zip code does affect your health. Part 1 for Decipher Your Health by Marijke Vroman-Durning, June 20th, 2023. Can where you live, employment status, and social networks or social determinants of health affect how healthy you are and how long you live? They absolutely can. Some people may say that you can change this by moving, getting another job, or getting more support, but in reality, it's not so simple. Adjusting these social determinants, which also include issues like food security, early childhood development, and education, among others, is often a lot easier said than done. Let's take a look how social determinants can affect two women, both in their mid-30s with the same health issues, Amanda and Kathy. They have type 2 diabetes and are at risk for developing a fairly common complication, an ulcer or sore, on the foot. If the wound doesn't heal properly, they could develop an infection which could lead to sepsis, amputation, or even death. Amanda has a primary care provider, a PCP, Dr. Williams, who she sees every 6 months or so if her blood glucose, sugar levels, are where they should be. She could see Dr. Williams more often if her glucose is not under control. During these regular visits, though, she usually has a blood pressure reading, weight check, medication review, discussion about any issues such as a new sore on her foot. Dr. Williams recommends that Amanda see a podiatrist who is in the next building. She should also buy better shoes that won't rub against the spot and will protect her feet overall. She's been warned against wearing restrictive shoes or those that could expose her feet to debris. Or Dr. Williams may begin treatment right away, including draining discharge, applying antibiotic ointments, and prescribing frequent dressing changes by a nurse. Before Amanda leaves the office, she checks who she should contact if she has any urgent concerns before her next appointment. Amanda may also receive detailed instructions, including the importance of checking her feet twice a day and to take photos with her smartphone to document progress. If Amanda needs to continue her medications or has a change in her prescription, she gets her medications at a local pharmacy and speaks to the pharmacist about any concerns or questions. The pharmacy has a record of all her medications, including those for other health issues, ordered by different healthcare professionals, so they can watch for any drug combinations or duplications. Amanda can consult with a registered dietitian for her food choices, and she has exercise opportunities like cycling, hiking, gardening, or any activity in her community. Or she can join a gym for something more targeted. Some doctors can even prescribe memberships if they're covered by insurance. The result? Amanda's social determinants and access to healthcare meant that her diabetes is under good control and her foot healed. But health and wellness is not equally available across the country. The most common issues include the lack of PCPs. Many communities, both rural and urban, don't have enough PCPs to see everyone who needs them. More than 100 million people in the U.S. don't have access to a PCP, and for those who do, their PCP may be rushed or only able to provide care in 15-minute slots. There's lack of physical access. If patients have no car or live in an area with unreliable public transit or none at all, how can they get to the doctor or if they can even find one? And as rural hospitals close, distances to travel become farther all the time. This issue isn't restricted to rural areas, too. According to one article, although urban residents may live close to concentrations of physicians, they do not have access to automobiles and are forced to travel on a crowded bus or a convoluted urban mass transit system. Then there's lack of worker underemployment. No job or minimum wage job may mean that limited health insurance. If patients can't afford to see a doctor, they may only go for help when there's an emergency. If their doctor then recommends treatments, they may not be able to afford them. There may be no pharmacy in their neighborhood, so when they can afford to fill their prescriptions, they get them through a mail service, but no pharmacist to talk to if there are problems. There's also lack of good nutrition options. If patients live in an underserved community, they may live in a food desert, where access to healthy food is limited. This results in uncontrolled blood glucose levels, which puts them at higher risk for chronic diseases like diabetes. Limited exercise opportunities are also an issue. Like living in a food desert, patients may live in an area where they can't get much physical exercise. Some communities are not safe for walking either because of the infrastructure, no sidewalks, or safety issues, especially for women. Or patients may also be working and caring for family members, leaving less time to exercise. And finally, there's lower education levels. Patients may not have finished high school, may have a reading disability, or English might not be their first language. This can lead to problems understanding pamphlets and information sheets, or even understanding what their PCP told them. So now let's look at Kathy. Kathy's life situation is different from Amanda's. Her social determinants don't allow her to get the same care. Kathy's blood glucose is out of control because she has to eat the food that she can find in her neighborhood. She has limited time to exercise because she has a one-hour commute to and from work, where she puts in 8-hour shifts at a minimum wage job before going home to care for her children and aging parents. She needs to see a doctor not only for her glucose control, but a sore she noticed on her foot. She can't get an appointment, though, or she can get an appointment, but she can't take off time off of work, or she can't get there. If she does manage to see her PCP for her foot ulcer, he recommends a treatment that Kathy can't afford, so she tries to manage on her own. He also suggests Kathy wear better shoes, which she can't afford. She can't test her blood glucose levels because she can't afford the test strips. She has no idea how out of control her diabetes is. Before long, the wound becomes infected, and Kathy is admitted to the hospital. She misses work, has more bills to pay, and may end up disabled if the wound becomes so serious that she needs an amputation. Two women, two different social determinants. They're the same age, with the same disease and complication, but two very different outcomes because of their social determinants. So what can be done to help people like Kathy? Watch for part two of Social Determinants of Health. And now our disclaimer. The information in this blog is provided as an information and educational resource only. It is not to be used or relied upon for diagnostic or treatment purposes. The blog does not represent or guarantee that its information is applicable to a specific patient's care or treatment. The educational content in this blog is not to be interpreted as medical advice from any of the authors or contributors. It is not to be used as a substitute for treatment or advice from a practicing physician or other healthcare professional.